Welcome back, WNST, Taos from Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively in a football season right now. We're in the middle of the Maryland Crab Cake Tour as well. Hope everybody's enjoying my Ravens writings and droppings, as I think it was called on Twitter. Columnness is what it's called out there. And of course, we get together with old friends around here and talk football and talk sports all the time. Dennis Colazzos can be heard on Thursday from 3 until 5. It is the Dennis Colazzos Show. Of course, he's over at Coons Baltimore Ford. Thinking football, getting ready for football, getting you ready for the games on Sunday mornings on the rebroadcast. And this is the time where it gets good, man. We sit here for 30, 40 weeks and don't. It's all speculative, and it's Lamar's contract, and how will he look, and all of that. Then they go out here, and they actually play these games on Sunday, right? And your discerning eye and mine, we're seeing a quarterback here who's emerging at a time that's going to make him a lot of money and probably cause the Ravens a lot of consternation in the offseason because he's playing well enough now to create open bidding.
No question about that, Nestor. He had some ring rusts the first half against the Jets, but ever since then, the last, 10 quarters he's played, he's been the best quarterback in the National Football League. And it's not even close. I mean, he's making money. I tweeted out, hashtag pay the man, because that's who he is. He is a generational talent. He looks better this year than he's ever looked. I wish he'd run the ball less, but it's who he is, Ness. But his accuracy, his touch passes, seem like he's improvising at the line of scrimmage. He's audibling. He is printing money right now, my friend.
Well, he's delivering the ball well, too. Just four through the air. Here's what I talked to Luke about. And part of this is they're going to score points, right? He's going to be involved in that as long as he's upright. To your point, you'd like to see him run less. I know you'd like to see him have a real contract. I know you'd like to see him have a real contract and have the Ravens taking out insurance on his contract instead of him taking out insurance on himself, right? So, knowing all of that, this has still been kind of a marvelous to witness and watch and see that he can get better in the same way that Peyton Manning got better and Tom Brady might still be getting better to some degree. Maybe not physically, although he's trying like hell with that avocado ice cream. But physically for Lamar to put on this weight, but more than that, to clearly be working all offseason, his own coaches, the Ravens coaches, Greg Roman, and I know everybody's, Greg Roman, great game plan. They're playing with a four-string left tackle. They still don't really have a running game going here, right? The guys are still dropping balls sometimes when he puts the ball in their hands. And let's be honest, the defense is the weak link. Would we agree?
Yeah, I mean, they can't cover. They can't seem to cover anyone. Let's face it, the Patriots offense, let's not confuse them with the Miami Dolphins of the prior week. They're not exactly an offensive juggernaut. Mac Jones in year two, picked apart the Ravens secondary once again. But I want to circle back to what you always say about Steve Buscemi's franchise and its value. You're talking about a franchise, Ness, that has a floor of about $3 billion and a ceiling, who knows, might be $5 or $6 billion. And you got a quarterback here that's generational, that's demanding a guaranteed contract, hence the dilemma. So what is Steve going to do? Because, as you said, the longest this thing takes, goes on, it's not going to get better for the organization. I mean, I can't see Lamar Jackson playing on a franchise tag for the second year in a row. I think he did him a big favor this year, and in the process, he also did himself a big favor this year. He bet on himself, and guess what? He's making money.
Well, so far so good. And then there's the team itself, right? Like, that has played 12 quarters of football, 11 outstanding winning quarters of football. The fourth quarter, specifically defensively, and their inability to gain a first down or two, right? Like, that they couldn't have burned more time off to not allow last week to happen last week. But last week serves as a warning. And I guess for the Bills, who won the Super Bowl last Monday night, right, beating up on the Titans, lost it again on Sunday down in the sun where they wilted in the heat down there. And now the Dolphins are the big dog, right? And short rest for the Bengals this week, but they'll have long rest waiting for the Ravens. And if you look at this at 2-1, feels good. It's fine. You'd rather be 3-0. You're happy to not be 1-2. And certainly when Nelson Aguilar was running through the pasture and Kyle Hamilton's trying to paddle to catch up, it started to look more and more like the field was getting lopsided and the ghost of Foxborough past were going to come back at and eat them. And I'm thinking, if they're 1-2, you wouldn't say, well, they lost in New England. They lost in New England, right? You'd say the defense is suspect if they lose this game. Having, I'm looking up, there's already 31 on the board. How many do you need, right? I mean, offensively. And then you'd say, well, the Bills are coming in. They might be the best team in football. Maybe. I mean, you know, call it what it is, but whether they, whatever happened in Miami. But then you have the Bengals, who some would say are the best in the division. They were the best in the conference last year. And these are the games coming in here where these are the home games. These are the, you got to hold serve and you got to be on your best. If you would have told Eric DaCosta that that kid Falele would be playing in Foxborough almost four quarters of football, and that that would be their option here. And I heard somebody say they don't invest in protecting Lamar. And I'm thinking they invested $150 million that Ronnie Stanley, they invested in it, but they didn't invest, as Indiana Jones would say, wisely, right?
No, they didn't. And you make a great point about Daniel Falele. I thought for sure they'd put him at right tackle and Morgan Moses slide him over to left tackle. They didn't do it. He gave up two quick sacks in the first, as soon as he got in there. And but he, you know, they helped him out in the second half. They put a tight end on the side, and they also chipped the edge rusher with running backs. But yeah, this offensive line is something else, and it's cause for concern. I don't know what's going on with Ronnie Stanley. I guess Ronnie Stanley knows, because John Harbaugh can't give us an answer on his availability. But the guy hasn't played in 2 years. And even when they roll him out there eventually, what's he going to look like? Is he going to go in there for a few plays and come right back out? Is he going to fall through the ground, grabbing his ankle again? Or that remains to be seen. Him coming back would be huge for the Ravens. But at this point, Nestor, we can't count on that.
Well, I mean, how often have we ever seen anybody come back from 2 years and go back to the 2019? Name me the athlete that's done that in any sport, you know, been a great player in year five and in year eight trying to come back and be the year five player. That just doesn't – that kind of math doesn't add up for me. And, you know, and as I said to Luke, we're now at the point where the Devin Duvernays and the Odafe Owas – and the Justin Madubuikes and the Rashad Batemans and the Kyle Hamiltons and the Tyler Lindenbaums. And I know I'm leaving somebody out, but these ones and twos and threes, these Thursday and Friday draft picks, the guys that you got to get on the field, the guys you got to keep healthy, and the guys you pay, the Marcus Williamses and those, you know, guys you're really paying to come in here, mixing in with the Zeitlers and the Campbells and the Bineses and the JPPs and all of these silver beards chasing glory, quite frankly, at the end of whatever their run is here, that there's going to be more of that, because they're going to be reaching to Brandon Williams if Michael Pierce isn't right. The offensive line is still, I don't know what they're going to do at left tackle, but if you're going to tell me Ronnie Stanley's the solution, ain't nobody going to tell any. John Harbaugh knows that's not a real solution right this minute. Now, if he comes back, maybe Bryant McKinney, nobody believed in him. He came in, he played his ass off, then he didn't. But at least he was a real guy, and he was relatively healthy at the end when he got here. Nobody knew what kind of spirit he had, and he turned out he wanted to win a ring, and he did. But I don't know that the Bryant McKinney's coming off the train for them or whatever that's going to be. And to your point, if you're waiting on Ronnie Stanley, you might be waiting on a train that's never going to come.
Yeah, you build the football team from the trenches out, Nestor, offensive line, defensive line. And one can only hope that Tyus Bowser comes back and David Ojabo. This team, if it gets healthier, which that's up for debate, they lost two or three guys in Sunday's matchup, they can make some noise later on in the season, but they have to hold on. They have to play at least 500 ball to have a chance in the last 8 or 9 games to make some noise. JPP, who knows how much gas he's got in his tank. Ojabo, look, go get the quarterback on third and long, right? That's not real difficult for him to understand. And then, of course, Tyus Bowser, what's he going to look after his Achilles surgery? So all these questions have to be answered, but you have to be encouraged by the start, 33 points a game by the Ravens offense. Devin Duvernay coming to life. I mean, he's just a difference maker on special teams as well as on the offense.
Well, I mean, you're looking for more of those, right? And Madubuike flashes a little bit, right? I don't know where we are with Patrick Queen and the whole linebacking core. I don't know what kind of help he's getting in general to become. If he had Jamie Sharper and Peter Boulware around him, right, or Terrell Suggs and name players in their prime, Bart Scott, whatever it is, right, around him, he would be a better player. I'm convinced of that. I'm convinced when the defensive line stops the run, no one's really challenged them. You know, they haven't had to play the Tennessee Titans pulling, you know, Derrick Henry at you, 28, 32 times a game and say, how would they stop that? Could they stop that? What would they look like rotationally in the fourth quarter? What would that look like with them being a little heavier on the back end? I mean, they're meant to hit you up in the air. And the thing I was heartened about with the Kyle Hamilton thing, whether it's the blind squirrel, right, whether he hasn't been a great player or in the right spot, but making the play after the ball was in the air, that's valuable too. You don't want the guy coming down in space and running to a pasture, but if you can still make a play, there's still a play to be made there. Make the play. And they made the play, and that was the difference making play in the game. Him, Peters, later Humphrey with a pick. But the ball's been going over these guys' head. The game started that way with Mac Jones. And I said to Luke, Dennis, Mac Jones to me looked like a 1AA quarterback. Like the ball didn't get there quickly. Like there's no zip on his pass. Threw a beautiful ball, right? I mean, lands, feather touch, all of that. I see where he's the Alabama guy and all that. But when you see him throw the ball, it doesn't feel like it's the same kind of zip that you see from NFL quarterbacks. And I said, Lamar's a little different because it looks like he's got a slingshot. It looks like he's throwing a javelin sometimes, the way the ball just comes out of there. But Mac Jones, not so much. It felt like the ball was up in the air a little bit that I expected them to go get it. But part of it just is they're not a very good defense right now. And I don't know who Mike McDonald is or what all that is. And we can go on the Wink Martindale train of they shouldn't have done that, the Wink, as the Giants continue to win, right? And they'll play their Monday Night Football. But I keep going back to horses and courses, right? If you're going to play with Falele at left tackle, yeah, Lamar can go out and get in the phone booth and but you might get him killed too.
Yeah, you might. Now, last week I had a lot of people come up and talk to me, and they used the word bust and Kyle Hamilton in the same sentence. And I told them, look, he's a rookie. They're going to make mistakes. He's going to get caught peeking in the backfield. He's going to have miscommunications, some coverage lapses. But I said, you can't give up on the.
Hold on. Do you have serious friends that call? This is like an awful phone call for me. But week two of the guy's career, they're gonna call into me and call him a bust. I'm gonna laugh in their face.
Week two, not only did it call, of course, it's the same group, but when it's Harbaugh fired and Roman's terrible. And
listen, when I went on the radio 31 years ago, I was great in week two. I mean, and continue to be. But not ever, you know, I mean, I wouldn't want anybody to find those tapes.
Look, we know it takes about 3 years to figure out if a guy is or isn't in the National Football League, especially guy taken 14th overall. So I think he's going to be fine. You have to love the hustle downfield. You have to love him coming up with a big turnover. You have to love the three turnovers by the defense in the fourth quarter. But Mac Jones, the reason why he was the 15th overall draft pick and not the first was because of that lack of arm strength, right? He's a touch quarterback. He's not real fleet-footed, although he had a couple of nice runs. I mean, as heavy-footed as he is against that Ravens defense. But you have to like the Ravens' chances better this week than a week ago coming in against the Buffalo Bills, their three-point home underdog. They'll be motivated enough to come out and play, and hopefully the fans will get flocked to the stadium and really give them an advantage as a 12th man. Right now, it's about a 50% chance of rain. It could be wet out there, so that's also going to factor in.
Dennis Palacios joins us here. He is over Coons Baltimore Ford Security Boulevard. I am wearing the blue shirt, the Justin Herbert Houston. I've been finding all my old Oilers stuff. My wife found my Oilers mug. I may toast you with that next week. The rim's a little small on it for my fingers.
I need a toast these days. That'll be great.
1981. I found all my Oilers stuff, so it all sort of looks like this. Dennis can be found around here on Thursday from 3 until 5. You can find him over at Coons Baltimore Ford. Of course, you hear his ads here as well. So you're on the WNST tech service and get the injury reports and all that. So Dennis, it's interesting you would say something about like bust after 2 weeks with Kyle Hamilton. And I would say measure him week three of the 24 season. That's 2 years from now. And I would also say that that's where we are with Ajabo, right? That there is a missing ingredient in that linebacking core that they feel like at some point, November, December, whenever it is. I mean, hell, it's almost October, right? So let's not get too far out. And they are 2-1 and they're holding their water. And I mean, Lamar deodorizes a lot of things. So does Mark Andrews, right? I mean, they're good players. You know, guys go Marcus Williams, Humphrey, Peters, when they make big plays. We'll see about Kyle Hamilton, the 14th pick in the draft. You know, you got to hope the Ravens don't stink enough to ever get the 14th pick again, right? Like, I remember when we're picking 27, 28, and Hayden Hurst and like all of that. But these players, when you mention Duvernay, thumbs up, right? Like, if you and I were to go player by player and we'd say Lindenbaum, I don't know yet, right? I mean, if we'd say Zeitler, still a good signing, right? I mean, he's playing, it's fine. You know, we go through all these, Reddick, incomplete, right? I mean, we have some of these guys that are incomplete. Patrick Queen, I'm getting more here than side, you know, like on a thumbs down basis. And I feel that way about a lot of these guys. And I'm wondering where Duvernay step up. I think Madubuike is a guy who has it in him, right? I mean, I don't know that we're seeing it every play. I don't know that given the position and given the rotation that they try to have defensively, that you could be an impact player. You make your impact in the fourth quarter, right? Or you don't, as we learned last week when everybody's fatigued against the Dolphins. But the young core of seeing Bateman get better, likely, okay. I mean, you know, it's not the preseason anymore, but he's still out there. Certainly Ricard. I mean, Ricard's going into the Hall of really great for what he does, right? Yeah. Like, I've never seen anybody do it better than he does it. So they have some emerging players. You're just wondering where that next batch of this is going to come from, where they get somebody to get after the quarterback. Let's start with that. The pass rush affects the back end, the inability to stop the rush, the injuries now, and the fact that last week that problem where they couldn't get a first down on offense late in the game, that'll kill you against Buffalo and Cincinnati the next 2 weeks if you can't finish.
It will. And then I think a lot of us started to get that old sinking feeling back in that fourth quarter when the Patriots were driving for the go-ahead score and right before the Ravens created the turnover. But I do think as bad as some of these injuries are, certainly don't want to see any player go down. But when a Michael Pierce goes down, maybe a Travis Jones steps up. I think that guy could be real, real good. Justin Madubuike, he took a step forward last year, kind of regressed. Looks like he's back this year, even stronger and quicker than ever. So you'd like to see all these young players. You'd like to see the team get younger. We have a lot of gray beards in the team. It's always going to be in transition. It's always going to be in flux. But these injuries, Nestor, I'm telling you, they keep piling up. And at some point last year,
Dennis, they're only going to get older, though, right?
They really are.
You know what I mean? Like, they didn't reach last week for a young buck pass rusher. They reached for JPP, right? Like, and because Suggs is not available, right? I mean, they're talking about Brandon Williams. Like that's what this is going to – this is going to be a slog unless Ajabo, Lindenbaum, you know, unless – They figure McCary. I don't know. I mean, McCary's not going to be a plus left tackle. Then he's going to be a placeholder if they can get him back on the field.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And let's see what these rookies look like after week eight. After 8 weeks into the league, they're no longer rookies. They're veterans. At that point, they usually hit a wall. Their rookie season it goes by so fast, Nestor. They need that full season in an NFL weight room to get their strength, but. Beggars can't be choosers, so this draft class has to play sooner rather than later. They just don't have a choice.
Well, and then they get the Giants after that, you know, after this little run, and the Browns, and then they have Tom Brady on short rest, right? So,
Should be fun.
Dude, if they're 7-1, they've earned it, right? I mean, if they go on a – if they win a couple of games, they'll be considered the best team. They have that opportunity out there in front of them. Chances are they're going to pooch a couple of these. You can't be pooching the home games, right? I mean, and especially the home division and then home conference, right? Like, you want a tiebreaker with the Bills. Dennis, you know, I don't know if you know, they took my seats away and they kind of screwed me around. The Ravens have done that. If you have, you can read it at Baltimore Positive. The one thing about my seats in 513 that meant a lot to me, it still mean a lot to me, and it's angered me and my wife and where we are. We never sat in those seats at a championship game, right? Like, I mean, we could talk about all the great times we had out there and the snow game against the Vikings and the Ray Lewis dances and the high fives and the hugs and the Flacco and like all that. But those moments that that I have memories of. And part of it was watching the game on TV from Foxborough and not being there. I know what the clam chowder, I mean, seriously, I know what the clam chowder tastes like. I know what the vat looks like back in the press area, down the steps in the back. I know the stadium like the back of my hand. I've sat in there watching them celebrate going to the Super Bowl. And I've been down on the field in the locker room in that stadium celebrating going to a Super Bowl, right? So I know all of that vibe about that place and Pittsburgh, same thing. And all of the disappointment of losing in Indianapolis in the playoffs and then winning in some of these places like Miami and games that we've won, Kansas City on the road where you get out of there and you win a road game in January, right? So the conference championship part of this home field, we're the best team where they were a couple of years ago when Lamar was running around in 2019, everybody's got purple flags on their Coons Ford, you know, like this is the time where they do that. You know, every year they would lose to Patrick Mahomes. So they were never, it was always, well, we're going to have to go out there and win. We're going to go out there and win's one thing. Going into Buffalo January 24th. And winning? You want to do that? Really? You want to do that? Then you better bootstrap up your four-string tackle, get your $100 million tackle out there. You better figure out a way to beat Buffalo. I mean, I don't want to put too much on a 2-1 game in week 4 and all that, but I'm telling you, I don't care anymore because I'm not sitting out in that seat anymore, right? But I tell you what, one of the reasons I held on to that seat, one of the reasons that Mr. Coons would hold on to his Orioles tickets for 40 years is waiting for a World Series game. And to me, this is one of those difference makers where do you really want to be on the bus to Cincinnati in January? Do you really want to be going to Buffalo? Do you really want to go to Kansas City? Why don't you make Patrick Mahomes come here? And the only way you do that is you got to beat the Bills this week because this is where these tiebreakers happen. It's a big game, man. Really big game.
It's a huge game. Buffalo, of course, their quarterback, Josh Allen, went to college at Wyoming. He doesn't mind playing in adverse weather conditions. Whereas Lamar Jackson, to me, one of his flaws is he doesn't like cold weather. He doesn't like wet weather. He doesn't like the slop. You know, he likes that Miami heat. He likes a nice playing field, as most quarterbacks do. But
he probably likes the Florida tax situation.
Well, that's hard.
We wouldn't want to put any truth in this program. It might might take my press credentials if I talk like
that. They might censor you for telling the truth, pointing out the obvious. But of course, you want to hold serve at home, and it didn't dawn on me that the Ravens have never hosted an AFC Championship game until you mentioned that. No, we won some and we lost some in the divisional round, but never an AFC Championship game. That's a great point.
Well, I mean, from an emotional standpoint, because look, man, I'm going through all sorts of emotions with this being thrust upon me, you know, and you understand the humanity of it, the business side of it, sure, the public facing side of all that. But all of it is I'm not going to the game this week. I'm not sitting in the seat I've sat in for 26 years, not through any fault of mine or my inability to pay for it or want it, like literally the circumstance. But I'm thinking, what am I missing? And I'm thinking, I'd really be missing something if there's a championship game and I'm not in that seat. And this is a year where they have that capability. I mean, the Washington Commanders aren't going to be hosting any championship. But you know what? They're thinking about it in Philly. They're thinking about it in New York and the Giants. They're thinking about it in Buffalo, which is why they're pissed about losing. They're thinking about it in Miami for the first time since Bob Greasy, maybe, right? I mean, so this is the time of the year where I don't power rankings this and that. And look, I know the inefficiencies, inequities, and shortcomings of the Ravens. We've been talking about them for a half an hour, right? Like the Ravens have holes and holes that there's no cavalry coming over the hill if it's not Ronnie Stanley at left tackle. There's just another gray beard of, you know, going and finding whatever JPP is out there or whatever Josh Bynes. I mean, Brandon Copeland, who I love. Mm-hmm. By the way, I was texting with him all weekend.
Oh, nice.
He's a good dude, man. Really one of the good humans I've met. And that's another thing that's been taken away from me is not meeting football players. I don't get to meet these good humans. But in the case of Brandon Copeland, that's what they're going to be doing, right? Like they're not finding a 22-year-old left tackle. They have one. You know, they have this Falele kid. And I have to think they don't want to go out there and see him trying to match up against the Bills this week and certainly against the Bengals the week after, that they know that that's not a prescription for keeping their quarterback upright, who may or may not be insured.
Yeah, they both of these squads have great defensive lines, particularly the Bills. They can make life tough on Lamar Jackson and the offensive line, but look, if they get a lead, control the clock, et cetera, get the crowd behind them, as we've seen, it's a week-to-week league. Anything can happen. watched the Tampa Bay and the Green Bay game, 14-12. It was a snooze fest. It didn't live up to the pregame hyperbole there between Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. They are fun to watch. Ravens are fun to watch. 33 points a game. If you love offense, this is the team for you. And I think looking at what the defense has presented so far this season, they have to win shootouts, right? And luckily, they can score points, and they can, in fact, win shootouts.
By the way, I'm watching a lot of football because I'm home and I'm not traveling, right? I haven't watched a lot of college football on Saturday. I was at Trifecta. I know you were out fishing all day Sunday as well and having a great time. I would just say this. I've watched a lot of football. I mean, I've just been home. It's been important to me. You know, I got a nice big TV and cable, and I got coconut water in the fridge. I can do yoga. I can work while I'm watching the game. I'm looking this way because that's where my TV is now. So I have my fix of all of this. The quality of the play has been really good. The quality of the officiating has been really good. You know, I don't know about the bees buzzing the Tampa Bay goalpost, and you know, I've seen sod flying around and that lake that they played in Chicago 2 weeks. I mean, blah blah blah. The guys getting injured. Hear all of that. But just the crispness of the play, mm-hmm. the fact that Russell Wilson looks like he's ready to play in Denver, and I'm ready to quit on him all the time, and Jimmy Garoppolo stepping out of bounds, throwing pick sixes, and just watching the games. I love the sport. I love football. I've decided that I'm not going to let Chad Steele make me not hate football because I'm going to be here as long as he's here. But in watching it, and my mantra to you, my friends, my sponsors, that everybody's going to be the same thing. The Ravens don't need any more fans. They have plenty of fans. They've already told me they don't need me to. So they need more reporters. And for me to keep an eye at this age, all these years in, having the Colts come and go, and Kevin Byrne come and go, and Joe Flacco come and go, and David Modell come and go, and where we are, I still really like watching football. I know more about it than most people are ever going to know, writing books about it, all that, and relationships and all that. I'm at a different point now where I'm really seeing all of it a little differently. And the thing that I am encouraged about is I think that the sport's good, and if not just good. It's not popular for a reason. Like, I've often watched the NBA and thought it's not compelling. I don't know why it's so popular. Like, some people would say soccer, nothing happens. I've grown more into that. Soccer mm-hmm. is compelling in a 0-0 game to me in a way that basketball in a 118 to 114 game isn't. We all age differently through this, but I think football, now that we're 3 weeks into this, the helmets, the colors, the officials, the gambling, the long commercial breaks that I didn't feel when I'm sitting at the stadium. I'm home. I feel like I can pee mm-hmm. twice, go out, cook half a burger if I want it medium rare, and come back and plate it. and you're good. But finding Amazon Prime, all of this young stuff for me, I'm excited about the football season. And as I said, the only thing that I'm pissed off about is they don't play on Tuesday and Wednesday because I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do, you know?
No, it's a lot of fun. And the Ravens, they want more reporters, but they want more silent reporters. They want reporters that will not ask difficult, hard, challenging questions, Esther. So they're looking for people. If you know anyone like that, then that's their type of reporter that they're looking for.
You know what? I've said this. I said this, and this is the grown-up version of me, because if this happened to me when I was 27 – I broadcast 168 hours a week and I have a big internet. I want to show my class, not my ass in any of this. Right. I mean, just in a general sense for what has happened, but I still love football. And, you know, there's a part of that for me that to bear witness to it as a reporter, it has really jogged my mind for when I literally went to skipjack games as a 16-year-old kid, but I wasn't allowed to be a fan, right? I mean, I had to be professional with the coach. And Gino would, like, he busted my wife up. Gene said, "You were so young that you had to act like a hard ass, you know? So you come down and ask questions that the old guys wouldn't ask because, like, you had balls, man. You would just ask questions, you know? Because you were like, you thought you needed to be tough to get respected." You know, like, so that was me at 15 with a notebook. I haven't been the smart ass in these press conferences ever. A lot of times I almost, Dennis, I'll be really honest with you. This is me truthfully, like, in my spirit and soul, I'll write about some of these stories. Maybe you should encourage me to do that at some point. I went to Kansas City for the Orioles playoffs, and this is, I've been banned a decade. Buck Showalter knows who I am. I had the general manager, Duquette, came up to me on the field in Kansas City and threatened to throw me off for being there before an ALCS game. He came up. He said, "How did you get a press pass here? I should get you thrown out." The only word he said to me, "I didn't say anything, do anything. I'm reporting, whatever." They got their ass kicked, right? I mean, they got their ass kicked. The Orioles did, right? They went out to Kansas City and they were blown away in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning. The last press conference I had access to, and Buck Showalter's at the table. Everybody's defeated. Everybody from the Royals is outside where the press conference celebrating, screaming. They're going to the World Series. And I had a chance to ask to be a hard ass and ask tough questions to Buck in the end of the end of the end. And the humanity of me just said, not the time and place. You know, I just stood in the back of the room and just watched the proceedings and watched the end of a season instead of asking really tough questions that you could ask at the end of a season. Right. Like if you don't ask them at the end, when are you going to get to ask the tough questions? Right. But there is a point in me that this has sort of fired that part of me up with the responsibility of asking tough questions when given the opportunity. Right. Same thing with Wes Moore, same thing with Johnny O, same thing with Larry Hogan, same thing with Dennis Colazzo, same thing with expecting accountability, you know, for I wear your badge and I represent you. You know, you treat your customers well. You need to, because I'm telling my people to go to. So there's all part of that, right? I think in a general way, I just want people to know, and I want people that have been paying attention to know, I'm in love with football again. Like, I'm enjoying it. I'm going to be bummed that there's no Tuesday night game. Mm-hmm. Even the Thursday night game didn't stink last week. I mean, Steelers stung, but the quality of play, I think the coaching's gotten better. I think the players studying, knowing where they're supposed to be, even though they're not practicing as much and stuff like that. I'm just not seeing sloppy football. It doesn't look preseason-y to me.
No, it looks very good. And to your point, it's always a lot of fun when you're a coach or a manager to answer questions after a victory. But what I pay attention to is how they behave after a difficult loss, or any loss for that matter. Their body language changes, their tone changes. Of course, it's human nature, but that's when you really see what a coach is made of or a manager is made of is when they're facing adversity. That's why I give Brandon Hyde credit with the Orioles. He's had some adverse years and he's still hanging in there and the team's getting better. And I'm glad that they're giving him a chance to see this thing to the end.
He seems like a good man too. I've never met Brandon Hyde. I just see the press conferences and stuff. And yeah. And this is getting into the bigger picture of, you know, what you do at Coons and what I do here. It's a year round business for the Orioles. Right. And like, they're coming to the end here and I got offered a couple of box seats on Friday night. A dear friend of mine offered them. The weather was a little chill. Had a long day Saturday. I did not go. I kind of regretted it a little bit because it was a shutout. It was a good game.
Yeah, it's a good game. Now see, I went Wednesday night.
I went Wednesday night
and I had a ball. It was fantastic. Sat behind home plate.
Good.
Yeah, it was great. It was wonderful. I had great food. I hadn't been there in a long time and I was engaged into it. I know a lot of the players now. And
you didn't get one of those hot dogs with a crab on it, did you?
I got a jumbo hot dog though, and I got a margarita. It was just amazing.
Who has margaritas and hot dogs?
Pinky up in the air.
What's wrong with you?
It was phenomenal. It was. Then I got some peanuts. We had a great time. We got on the Jumbotron. Then we got interviewed by a reporter there. We did a trivia contest that I blew. Who had 50 saves? In 1992 for the Orioles and. I didn't know Jim Johnson was a guy. I said B.J. Ryan, who I never heard of. But it was a lot of fun getting up on the Jumbotron with our friends and family. And it was just a really good experience.
Well, you're making me regret not going more. Listen, I had a great time at Trifecta. You know how much I love music. I went out, spent the whole day watching bands, seeing friends. My son and his wife came out. We had a beautiful day together. It was perfect weather. So, you know, I'm discovering other things beside the TF Green Airport in Providence. How about that? You know,
yeah. Listen, we're blessed to be alive. Just every day. Every day is a blessing. There's beauty in the world, and sports is a big part of what we do. What we like.
I don't want anybody thinking at 1 o'clock on Sunday that I won't be ready for game time because you know I will be ready for game time. Dennis, I appreciate you. I know you'll be ready for game time too. He'll be here from 3 until 5 on Thursday. Dennis Colazzo's show. He spends long stretches of time, longer than I do, with Luke. So make sure you're tuning in. For all things and insights from Owings Mills to get you ready for the Bills game. Dennis will be on from 8 until noon, rebroadcast before the game to get you ready if you're going to the game. You can spend your tailgate with Dennis. Dennis and the Dennis Colazzo show. I am Nestor. We are WNSD AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We're coming to Catonsville to the Beaumont for the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on Thursday from 1 until 4. All of it brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I'll have some Raven scratch-offs to give away. We had a lucky $20 winner last week, so that was kind of awesome at Cooper's North. And some great conversations up there about Cal Ripken Senior Foundation, Dogfest. Dennis, they're having me. I'm going to be one of the judges of Dogfest on the 15th. Mm. We have the Baltimore Pit Beef Festival on the 22nd. We got a lot of things going on. Our friends at Goodwill, the Restaurant Association of Maryland, Window Nation presenting the Crab Cake Tour. We are WNST AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive.